Episode 290, March 13th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
So I already asked you this question, Joe. Welcome to the show, everybody. But Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, no Robbie, Marcus sort of with us. But after my show Saturday night at the Richmond Funny Bone, my set was done and the headliner was on Bert Kreischer. A woman comes up to me, a drunk woman, very complimentary of my act. And Marcus, she says to me, she asked me, "Do you stay up all night?" And I said, "No, I go to bed at like 2 or 3. She says, "No, do you stay up all night?" And now I'm like, I figure that's got to be a code for something.
I thought when you told me that story originally, well, let me ask, before you say anything, Marcus, what do you think she's talking about?
I think she's asking whether or not he can give it to her all night long.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I thought she was trying to say, "Hey, do you want to fuck?"
Yeah.
No, because she starts playing with her nose and sniffing. She was talking about, do I do cocaine? She's asking me if I do cocaine, and I'm telling her my sleep schedule.
I still don't think it's you. Because without naming names, we talked to somebody who does cocaine, and that person did not know what that meant.
Yeah, but so then I went around, maybe it's a Richmond thing, because I asked a bunch of people after.
They all knew?
Not all, but I would say 3 out of 4 did.
I thought people just tapped their nose. That was the key for, you know, do you do cocaine?
That's the usual go-to.
Yeah.
Maybe she just thought I was just so down that she could give the cool lingo.
Wait, how old was this woman?
She's probably late 30s.
Was she attractive?
Not really, but if you wanted to go to the room 206 in the Hyatt House, you could probably do cocaine. She had a boyfriend. I never saw the boyfriend, but I don't know if you've ever seen Bert Kreischer do comedy, either one of you, but he's a beast. He takes his shirt off. He's wild and crazy, but he has an act. He's not just like Steve-O up there or something, you know,
right?
Just being ridiculous. He's very funny. He's also very forthcoming and honest and about his career. And he'll tell you what he makes, what he wants to make. And he gives you real, you know, talks about podcast stuff. He actually gave a tip that Robbie probably won't like, but he said that one of the keys to anything with blogging or podcasting or posting on YouTube is to do it at the exact same time every single day or every single week, and the people know it's there. And if they come to count on it, it's not there one time, they don't listen. So, you know, that's a little, Robbie, we need to, Marcus, it would be nice if we could every time know that people could know that it's going to be there Wednesday morning or whatever the case may be. But anyway, he is known as being a big party animal, a big drinker. Like that, the Friday afternoon before the Richmond shows, he does this call in sick to work show at the DC Improv, which, if you don't know, the area is a couple hours away, and it sold out in under 5 minutes. and people just go there and just get hammered. I've talked to the manager.
How do enough people know within 5 minutes to call out sick and go to a show?
Because they, well, they tease it. Let's say the tickets are going to go on sale. They send it in their newsletter or whatever. And he sends, and he tweets it out and Facebooks it out and talks about it. He's on, he's got a podcast with a lot of listenership. He makes a lot more than we do, Joe. And, but he's, so you're talking about on a Friday, he's getting hammered during the day. Then he's going, like, he did like 11 shots one night at the late show, and he didn't even count that as drinking. He just said that's just shots during the show. When I'm drinking, shots? I'm drinking before. Yeah, yeah, there's fireballs, all kinds of stuff.
They make me throw up shots.
Yeah, like even at my peak of drinking, and you've seen me at my peak, I mean, I could never drink like that. But he doesn't get where he's slurring. He's still talking to you. He still seems fine.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I've seen you drunk, but obviously the drunkest I've ever seen you was when you fell off the stage at the Baltimore Comedy Factory and they put you on the bench outside.
Right.
But I don't think I've ever seen you throw up.
No, I threw up that night in the elevator, in the service elevator, in a trash can.
But you didn't. You're lucky there's a trash can in that elevator. That's not a normal thing you find in an elevator.
Well, it was the service elevator, I think. But yes, very lucky. So, but the crowd that he brings, first of all, he sold out every show. And it was a really good crowd for me because they were into it. They wanted to have a good time, and I had really good sets. But they are drinkers. And this is by far the most drunk I've ever seen crowds. So pretty much every night there was some people getting kicked out. Like, you know, there was a group up front. These two guys, very front center table, just two top, just talking the whole time. And the problem with kicking them out is their whole group is about 12 deep. So then it's the whole front area is leaving, which is obviously going to interrupt the show. So they were waiting to the last possible chance. They eventually got kicked out. I had a guy in the late show. He just kept yelling shit. And finally I said to him, the only way you're going to see Bert Kreischer tonight is on YouTube. And eventually, like, of course, that's got a huge laugh. But eventually they kicked him out. But they were,
well,
but this
on.
Girl was.
I want to, before you, but let me go back to the 12 top. That's problematic. I mean, was that, because did that happen in the middle of your set?
They were, well, it's not that they were a 12 top. They were a group of 12 in about three or four different tables up front. So they were talking, these two guys. And I kept, like, at one point they went to the bathroom and I said, wow, sorry to see them leap. Sarcastically, everyone claps and stuff. So I kept throwing in shots about them. But they were kicked out. Bert was on stage.
Yeah, that can derail a set. I guess if you're as good as he is, that's not a concern. And also, when there's 12 of them, that there's a scene a lot of times.
Yeah, well, we had, there was three people that didn't, in the lobby there, they didn't want to pay their bill because they said, they thought, there's no way we drank that much. The tab was $170. And if you saw the three of them, you would have said, there's no way you didn't drink that much. I mean, you guys can barely walk. You clearly had this. And I was talking to Jason, the manager, about the sales. I said, you have to do well in sales. And their liquor sales are up like 200% because everyone's buying shots and stuff, which isn't really, people don't normally, you know, people in their 40s don't normally buy shots at a bar like college kids.
Right.
But he crushes it.
Yeah, and clubs must love them if they're drinking like that. Yeah,
the MC was this weird guy. I like him, Anthony. He did well. He's a nice guy. He's a little weird though.
And what do you mean?
Well, he you know, I told him, hey, can you push the murder mystery? Or, you know, mention it. I give him the flyer. He looks at it. He goes, so there's gonna be some kissing. I said, what do you mean? He goes, there's gonna be kissing. But no, there's no kissing. Okay, so no kissing? And I'm like, what are you saying?
Is he trying to be funny?
I don't know. That's what I mean by weird. I don't understand where he was going with that. Well, he's reading the flyer. I don't know what would make him think kissing. And it was never explained to me. It just sat out there as this weird thing.
It sounds like a guy who, I guess he's trying to be, you know, off the wall or whatever. He's waiting, you know, he had to be trying to be funny. Obviously, there's no indication that they're trying. There's any going to be any kissing. You know, there's nothing in there. It's not about romance. It's not romance themed or anything. Yeah, this guy Yeah, I'd be like, hey, no, can you just plug the murder mystery and stop acting so fucking weird?
So we're in the green room. Bert's in there, and this is going to be a little graphic, this hypothetical. But Bert threw out this hypothetical. There's nothing was segued into it. We're just bullshitting. And he says to Anthony, he says, hey, do you think if Rob and I, like, we really tried to, we could manhandle you and fuck you in the ass? And I just thought it was the funniest thing, because you're imagining, could two guys do that to another guy? I think he'd be able to fight it off. Well, he said yes, but I know the answer is no. But the reason he said yes, and I can't delve too deep into this, maybe I will on the bonus show. He has there's a little legal situation with him. So his answer was yes, only that he can't be getting into some fight somewhere and having there be some legal ramification. But the reality is it's going to take.
So you get fucked in the ass so you don't you don't get into a fight? That's, I mean, I think it's worth the risk, right?
Knowing his legal situation, I don't want to get into details, but I'd rather be fucked in the ass in the green room by Rob Mayer and Burt Kreischer than do 20 years in prison.
Was this guy a guy that you... Was he the most intimidating guy of the three?
No, he's not intimidating. He's kind of like a stoner kind of guy. But I could tell by talking to him, I could tell he would probably beat us in a fight because he seems like he's been in more fights. Well, I've been in zero fights.
So if he was in one, he was in more.
Yes, right.
That I don't want to. I know you're on a roll, but you know there was an altercation at the Funny Bone between Katie and an audience member.
Yeah, I'm. She told me some of that, but I didn't witness any of it. Just tell us about that.
So I didn't witness any of it either. And, of course, thank God Tommy was there for two reasons. First of all, if I'm there, you know, I have obligations because that's my girlfriend.
Sure.
But you know, I'll get beat up by most people. So, you know what I mean? It's better that Tommy was there because, you know, Tommy can also handle himself as well as be responsible for whatever needs to be done. But I felt a little guilty that I wasn't there because it was for real. So here's what happened. There were two people and they were kind of to the back. They were stage left. I'm sorry, stage right, a little to the back. And they were talking at this level that I'm talking right now.
Right.
And so a couple of the other tables complained and Katie goes, shh, to them. That's what she said. And of course, this lady lost her shit. Now, what she did was... there was probably some exchange, but nothing that crazy because Katie just walked away. But the waiter let Katie know, hey, those people, they're kind of hostile. And these were not people that, you know, that you wanted to be messing with. Right. So at the end of the show, this lady waited for Katie.
Jesus.
And Katie came back and says, Hey, you owe me an apology. And Katie's like, well, why do I owe you an apology? She said, because you shushed me. She goes, well, I did that because you were disruptive. She goes, well, you didn't have to say it like that or do it like that. She's like, well, that's the only really way that I know. It's a universal sign to ask somebody to be quiet. She goes, well, you could have come over to the table and asked me to be quiet. Oh, you would have received that well if I would have walked over to the table and leaned down and told you to be quiet. No, the alternative was to call the bouncer and have them remove you.
Yeah.
And so the exchange got pretty heated, and she actually put her hand on Katie. Now, Tommy was standing over there like Assassin's Creed, apparently, just waiting. You know Tommy. I mean, he probably...
Hoping
that something would... But I guess, I think that Katie gave her, you know, kind of this, okay, well, in that case, I'm sorry. And then they walked out, right? But yeah, it got uncomfortable. And, you know, the thing is, tell me if you feel the same way. I carry some guilt for not being there, you know, to protect her. Meanwhile, what the hell am I going to do? Fight this woman? I guess I could have stood in between them.
Yeah, well, it's. I mean, you're not going to fight, you know, this woman. But, I mean, if you do say something, I mean, you don't want a shouting match. I mean, we don't want that just as an appearance for our show, our company, you know, to have that happen. So I don't think you should feel guilty. I think Tommy was there. It's not like you were just hanging out and drinking in the corner. You were working.
If I knew about it and I wasn't there, that's a different story. But I do carry guilt. Would you feel the same way if Tawana was in an argument with you? Tawana probably ended up in a fight. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Tawana probably starts swinging. Yeah.
Yeah. She, although it sounds like Katie stood up for herself. I mean, Well, she's in the right. I mean, the thing is with that show, and we'll get to the details of it. It was a fun show, but there were some people that were comped, and you can tell the difference between people that paid and people that get in for free. There's a difference, different level of their interest in paying attention. And I'm guessing that's those people might have gotten some free last minute tickets. And that's, and they react a little.
You know what? That never occurred to me, but you are 100% right. That's exactly what happened. And you're right. You can tell the people, I'm like, these guys decided to come out on a Sunday night and pay X number of dollars. Is that what happened? But no, these people paid no money and decided to have a conversation right in front of, you know, five other tables that did pay. But yeah, no, but it sounds like Katie's good in an argument. So, you know, which isn't great for me. You know, I like to win most of my arguments, but she's good in an argument.
But
so.
You enjoy arguing a little bit. So.
Well, not, you know what? It's funny. I don't enjoy arguing. I'm good at it, but I don't enjoy arguing because, you know, if me and you are ganging up on somebody like Tim or Bird Knight, then I like it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But if I'm in a real argument with somebody I care about, I'm not like when Robbie and I argue or you and I really don't argue. But when I'm in a real argument with people that I care about, I don't enjoy it. Whether I'm good at it or not, right. I don't enjoy that. Now, if you and I are arguing and it's not important, we're arguing about the merits of something regarding sports or something like that, then I don't care. Then I'll try to be right. I'll try to win the argument. But when it's real life, I don't enjoy.
You'll enjoy arguing Bryce Harper versus Manny Machado forever.
That's really no argument right now. But
yeah.
Katie and I were on this diet. It was a master cleanse. Are you familiar with this?
Yeah, I know about this thing. Sounds horrible.
You take a gallon of liquid, and it's water and lemon juice and grade B maple syrup and cayenne pepper, and you drink a half a gallon of it every day. That's what you do. And I said to Katie, I said, hey, I'll do this, but as soon as we start fighting, we're going to stop doing this. The second we start fighting, because, you know, we're going to get irritable. We can't ruin our relationship in order to lose 10 pounds. We can't do it. She said, okay, day and a half. That's a big fight. We had to stop doing it. We ended up getting a cheesesteak. We started on Thursday, made it all the way through Thursday. Friday we got into an argument, and then I came home and we ate cheesesteaks.
So you probably gained weight because of it.
Oh yeah, no, I've eaten like crazy since then. So yeah, I would guess that I'm probably up over where I started when I drank the gallon. By the way, that shit is horrible. Whoever's thinking about doing that, just don't. Just exercise. By the way, you don't need to buy a book. You don't need to do any of this stuff. There's a clear way to lose weight.
There's no secret. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't eat a bunch of carbs and increase your heart rate. That's how you do it. That's how you lose weight. It's just all that shit sucks. Carbs are delicious. You know, yeah. Running
and
around
it's a gradual,
sucks. Yeah.
It's going to be a gradual weight loss.
Yeah. You have to do it for, you know, 3 or 4 months in order to get where you need to get. You can't do it. Yeah. That's basically it. But
you're going to lose a half pound a week to 1 pound at the most, probably. But that adds up, you know. 12,
have you
13,
ever just 15. Lifted up 5 pounds? That's a lot to get rid of that. It requires work. Yeah. So, I mean, the cleanse probably would have, we definitely would have lost weight on that. That's because you're not eating. But then it ended up about 36 hours in to not be worth it.
Couple more things about my comedy stuff. Then we'll get to the murder mystery, take a break into the murder mystery. Speaking of rowdy, angry women, there was a woman, I headlined Thursday night, and then I featured for Bert Kreischer on the weekend. So Thursday night, there was she was an attractive woman. I would call her a little white trashy, but probably like a white trash 10. And her boyfriend looked, you know, very like he might sell crystal meth, maybe.
So white trash 10 is like Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't that hot, but I mean, she was. She had this tight, you know, dress on, and she was pretty tall, and she was a good looking woman. She was completely annoying. She hardly even watched my show. They were at the bar the most afterwards. And, you know, so I'm handing out murder mystery flyers. She goes, well, can you get me free tickets? I said, no, I mean, I'm not going to, that's how I get paid. And she goes, well, how much for a t-shirt? I said, $20. Well, can you give me a t-shirt? I said, no. I said, you're your boyfriend. He can buy you something. I give her a card. The boyfriend, they're both white. The boyfriend is talking to the feature, who's black. she yells at her boyfriend, "Hey, N-word, get over here."
Was she talking to the boyfriend or the guy he was talking to?
She was talking to the boyfriend.
Okay.
But she says that right in, as he's talking to a black guy.
And the black guy said what?
He just smiled and walked away. I mean, he knew he knew that this bitch was just drunk and annoying. What's the point? What are you going to have is talk with her? And he just walked away. And then, of course, she leaves and she throws my business card on the ground because I didn't give her shit.
Well, here's the deal. And it's hot chicks feel very entitled. Do you know why?
Because they're used to getting shit.
Yes, yeah, they get at whatever they want. They don't know. You know, I call this the stripper on the air syndrome. It's when they used to ask us to have strippers on the show, you know, whatever, the Gold Club or whatever, would send girls up to be on the air. And the problem is these bitches don't know they're not interesting. They don't know because guys hang on their every word because they obviously are interested in them for a reason other than their personality. But on the air, that's all you see. I'm going to describe these girls. This is what I'm talking to. She's got tits this size and her ass is this big. No, it doesn't work like that. I just have to hear her thoughts on life. And that's exactly why this girl is throwing your business card on the ground because everybody else is giving her free T-shirts along with the crystal meth guy who gets called the N-word.
So one last thing. I do this joke about how I'm asking women how long sex should last. This girl, a woman, attractive, mid-20s, she yells out 45 minutes. Then I say, okay, well, break that down for me. She goes, my dad's right here. And I'm like, well, you yelled out 45 minutes. I mean, I didn't know that was your dad. Like, you didn't have to answer the question, right? And then he yells out an hour and a half. And then we ended up, this is funny, we ended up talking afterwards. And she looks me up on Facebook. She goes, oh, we have one mutual friend. Do you remember when we did that beer run thing before we did Drafts and Laughs?
Remember that, yes. We were stuck in those booths or whatever, yes.
And remember there was that that girl that was attractive, like that was wearing number 11, and we kept calling her number 11.
Oh, I do remember that. That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's her mutual or my mutual friend. So it's like, yeah, I know that girl. Yeah, yeah, because now they both live in Virginia Beach.
Now, are you aware it's supposed to snow like a foot tonight? Do you know that?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about finally we're having snow on the East Coast. Rob and Joe, be right back.
Die Laughing Productions is back with another hilarious whodunit murder mystery comedy show. From the people who brought you A Merry Murder Mystery and the newly dead game comes Back to the 80s. You're attending an event at Glenbrook North High in Chicago, Illinois, where the students, faculty, and alumni are gathering to open a time capsule that was planted exactly 30 years ago. But a still unsolved murder case will transport you back when gas was under a dollar a gallon and cell phones were the size of a brick. Ferris Bueller, Marty McFly, and all things 80s murder mystery mashed up with me, Justin from 98 Rock, and the audience, you're going to be the star. Some of you will get to play parts in the show, and all of you will guess who the murderer is. Guess right, you could win something bitchin'. Guess wrong, and you'll be a butthead. Jean jackets and leg warmers are encouraged. Eat, drink, laugh, and solve a murder. Back to the 80s.
Next performance, March 28th at Ram's Head on Stage in Annapolis. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Yeah, I never thought that we were going to go through winter unscathed. Did you? Did you, Joe?
Well, it's March 13th.
Yeah, I mean, it's been mild. It's going to catch up. We're going to have something. It's happening.
Do you know when the first day of spring is?
Has it already happened or is it soon? It's coming up, right?
It's the 20th.
Okay.
So we're 7 days before and we're going to have a blizzard.
Is it a blizzard? Because I'm hearing 4 to 6 inches.
No, dude. No, it's supposed to be. I just looked at my phone right before I got on here. And this is something crazy. I don't know that I've ever seen this. Here's what it says. Give me 2 seconds here to pull this up. Marcus can cut all this out.
Sure. Give him work to do.
Okay. So the chance of snow at 9 p.m. tonight is 90%. Then 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, it's 100%.
Yeah.
So according to this, it is 100% going to snow from 9 till 4 in the morning. I'm sorry, till, did I say that right? Yeah, 4 in the morning.
Okay.
No, I apologize. No, that's wrong. From 9 tonight to 9 in the morning. So 12 hours straight of snow.
Well, that's a lot of snow then.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, I'm looking right at it. Unless, I don't know how you can get 100% wrong when we're an hour away from it.
you'd be surprised. You want to bet how much snow we're going to have?
Well, I'm not going to bet the 12 inches, but you say 4 to 6, I'll bet it's over.
Yeah, well, this new information you've given me, I want 7.5 as the over-under.
What town? I just took a bite of food. Sorry about that.
All right, you can measure. Do you have like a deck or something?
Or no.
All right.
Sorry, had to swallow.
A deck. I can easily measure.
Okay, I'll take that. Columbia, the 7.5 is the break even.
Yes.
You get under 7.5, I get over.
Yep. There we go. $5,000. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Did you buy stuff? I went to the grocery store. I have things.
What'd you buy?
Well, I already have a bunch of Blue Apron meals. But I bought a pizza and I bought some eggs, bacon, milk, cereal, you know, stuff like that. I mean, come on. It's one day. What am I? We're going to be out in the day.
Well, we leave for Vegas on Thursday.
We have a murder mystery rehearsal on Wednesday.
Yeah, we have a murder, hopefully, right? If the snow doesn't affect it. And what's dumb is I literally live across the street from a grocery store. Across the street.
Yeah.
I mean, we're 400 yards from the front of a grocery store.
You mean the CVS or an actual grocery store?
No, the Giant across the street. The CVS is even closer. We're 100 yards from that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and yeah, even if I had to do my grocery shopping at CVS, I could get everything.
Yeah, you'd be fine.
But we still bought, you know, bread and whatever you're supposed to buy, toilet paper, you know, everything you're supposed to buy during a snowstorm. But if it snows 12 inches, it only keeps you in for one day. That's it.
Yeah.
12 inches. Yeah, you're out of here. And I live in an apartment complex, which means, you know, there's really no roads to be plowed. You get stuck in here because you're in a, you know, every car is in the same parking lot. Still one day. It's the most you can ever. I mean, how much food do you need? We need 3 meals. We'll make it out of here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't get the, and don't people, you already have some food in your house, right? I mean, you pretty much always have one day of food in your house.
I walked into the bread aisle because you're supposed to buy bread. Wiped out. We wiped out. There was like eight loaves left. Okay, what about this? So we buy lunch meat. And I go, all right, I'm going to go get bread. Katie says, get wheat. I believe that to be the worst bread. I don't think there's a bread worse than wheat.
I always get wheat.
Well, I remember eating wheat when I was a kid because we thought it was healthy. But now we know that no bread's healthy. None of it's healthy. It's all horrible. So,
well, what do you get?
We got wheat. I got wheat.
What do you like to get?
For sandwiches, I don't know, rye, pumpernickel, basically anything other than wheat.
Okay. I mean,
pumpernickel
you're not getting
white bread, is worse.
What do you say? Pumpernickel's not the worst. Are you crazy?
Oh, pumpernickel is terrible. Rye is terrible. Sourdough is the best.
Yeah, but Mark, because you can't make a sandwich. I mean, what sandwiches are made with sourdough? Yeah, that's a different. This is for sandwiches.
I make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'll make any kind of sandwich out of sourdough.
I like to make my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on rye.
I don't like plain like white bread. I'm never gonna get that.
No, but I mean, if I'm making a BLT, you use white bread.
No, I never made a BLT.
And neither have I. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. As if I'm eating a BLT somebody else made.
So I want to talk about this murder mystery real quick. Robbie was doing sound, and Robbie gets there super early. And they have a sound guy there. His name's Buzz. He's been there forever. He's about 6'6". He's a retired police officer. He has a gun on him at all times. He's he's kind of like Robbie in the way that he has a way that he does things, and he doesn't like anyone to screw with those ways. So Robbie gets there before him, the doorman, you know, lets him in the sound booth. Robbie just starts fucking with shit. Now, I shouldn't say fucking with
shit. That's not the story I heard, but continue. I'm going to tell you Robbie's version. Okay. Go ahead.
He starts to set things up and thinking, just basically plugging his laptop in and to have access to all his music and sound cues. Well, then the buzz guy gets there and is angry and is like, who let you in here? And Robbie's afraid to tell because this guy's going to get in trouble. But eventually he wears Robbie down and Robbie just folds and says it was so-and-so. So
Robbie told me that beforehand, they warned Robbie that this guy's real particular about this area. So please be careful. Now, Robbie knew that. So Robbie proactively, when he saw him, he goes, hey, listen, they told me you're real particular. I was really careful, blah, blah, blah. So Robbie tried to do a preemptive strike. This guy would have none of it, even though Robbie realized that this guy might be upset because he was like Robbie.
Yes.
So actually, Robbie didn't really do a horrible job trying to deal with this situation before it happened, but then it happened anyway.
Well, apparently, because before every show, they, like a lot of comedy clubs, show a slideshow of the upcoming acts for the next few months. And for whatever reason, I'm sure Robbie didn't do something, but whatever happened, that feature was not working. And that was upsetting Buzz, because now he's going to fix it. He didn't need to fix it for our show, but they're going to have to fix it for next week. So I show up, and now Buzz is mad at me. So this is how it started. I'm like, oh, great, this is a good start to the show. But then, you know, Robbie and Buzz start talking about guns, and then they're best friends. So it all worked out at the end.
Oh, I didn't know he was mad at you.
Yeah, because he's like, you got to let me know you got a sound guy coming earlier. I mean, he's came in, and everything's now screwed up. I don't know, the slideshow's not working. I'm like, okay. So I'm getting this.
This story that you told it's almost like in a bizarro world. So what happened was this guy was mad at you and Robbie smoothed it over. Robbie was the endearing one. Robbie won this guy over. That's hilarious.
Robbie had already got him back, I think. But then he probably still had anger, but then he realized, you know, Buzz loves me. So it's not, but he was giving me a little shit.
You saw real anger?
I mean, I'm sure he gets angry at the people he doesn't like, but it's the angriest he's ever been at me, and he's never been angry at me. So it did stand out.
Hey,
but I did take some shit for that.
I have a story for the bonus show. You just reminded me of it with people that don't usually get angry with you being angry, but I want to do a little tease that, my son, wanted to see a concert that we wouldn't let him go to. And if anyone in our audience is familiar with the music of a band called Sunno, now let me tell you how it's spelled. It's spelled capital S-U-N-N-O, and then behind the O's are three parentheses that are in the same shape as the other side of the O. Does that make sense? So S-U-N-N-O, parenthesis, 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 but just the back end of a parenthesis.
They sound horrible.
Oh, well, hold on. Give him a chance before you do. I want you at some point, and this is definitely a discussion for the bonus show, but if anybody's familiar with this band, and then, Rob, you could just tune them in, maybe a couple of their songs. Let me give you a song. I believe it's called Orthodox. What is it called? Orthodox Graveyard or something like that. But yeah, check it out. Check out their sound. Tell me what you think.
Like right now?
No. At some point. Yeah. Okay. Give them a listen. Yeah. And if any of our fans out there are familiar with their work, I'm interested in some feedback.
Now, Marcus, you said that someone went to the murder mystery in Richmond. First of all, the Rooters were there and Diana Barrett. We hung out with them, and Diana Barrett had a role in the murder mystery, which is funny because she's actually a real police officer. And we hung out afterwards, and you know, I asked the guy for the bill. She went and snuck paid it like a champion.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome of her.
Super,
you know,
awesome.
Marcus, they gave me shit because I sided with you, and I need to take that back. I side with them. If they're gonna be paying bills and supporting our product, yeah. I mean, yeah, you help out with this show every week. Yeah, okay, but you know, I didn't like them confronting me. I don't feel like you'd do that to me, Marcus, but they did.
Well, and I'm glad that they did because, you know, the Rooters, you know, can't we all just get along? Actually, we all do get along. We're all, this is all in fun.
So the Rooters are still hating me.
No, the Rooters and everyone, we all get along. This is just in good fun. But it's more interesting if you guys don't like each other. But unfortunately, there is no real tension. Otherwise, I would continue to play it up. But
hi,
you,
Laura.
Marcus, yes. You, Marcus, said that someone came to the show and, like Diana Barrett, stealth paid for our meal at the bar afterwards. This person stealth came and went to the show, didn't never talk to us?
Yeah, John Michael Wood. He sent me a note. It's one of those... Every time I say it and every time I read it, it makes me giggle inside. I don't know why. Like a little.
Does
boy.
He go by John Michael Wood?
Is That's
he,
what it says on Facebook. John Michael Wood.
Sounds like somebody about to kill the president.
Right. Like, can't he just pick like two names? Or just John Wood?
Well, it's
Michael
also
Wood?
The first time, too, that I've seen first name hyphenated. It's John hyphen Michael.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So he said, yeah, he sent Wood. Me a note before going to Richmond to go see you guys perform at the Funny Bone. And he said he was going to go. He was really looking forward to it. Loves the show. And I just simply sent him a note back, said, great, thanks for the support. And, oh, by the way, let me know how it goes, what you thought. And he did send me a note back. He said the show was fantastic. Yes. Everyone was hilarious. It was really cool to hear a familiar voice as the announcer. Wink, wink.
Yes.
And so... You know, but then I asked him after that, I'm glad you liked the show. Did you say hello? Did you get to meet the guys? And he said he didn't. He was afraid, which then made me laugh inside, too, because you guys are the most non-scary people, a couple of the most non-scary people I know. You're
we're pretty easy to talk to.
Yeah, we make ourselves pretty available, too.
Yeah, I mean, after I saw Rob, when I met you down in Connecticut, you were easily accessible to everybody. One, you were trying to sell everybody a T-shirt.
Sure.
But at the same time, you were very approachable. Everybody was walking up to you after your stand-up act, and I can only imagine having, unless the whole group was together, that was the only thing that I could see. If he was a little scared, like, entering the whole group of you guys...
You know what's strange, Marcus, is we actually go table to table, meaning there is a 100% chance that I walked right up to their table and talked to him.
Or Katie, one of us did.
Right, sure. Right. Yeah, but I did more of the going around since Katie was in a fight with one of the tables.
That's true. Yeah, there's 100% chance we had eye contact with John Michael Wood.
Well, I mean, he was a big supporter. He was so jazzed to go see you guys, and he loved it. And again, I mean, it's fantastic. Speaking of support, the Omericast that I posted late last night, I had guest Stephen Douglas McIntyre. You know him as the High Sparrow.
I listened.
And he said that he is now a Patreon subscriber.
Yes, he is. Thank you, Mr. SDM. He is. Now maybe... I think now, since John Michael Wood was too afraid to talk to us, he should become a patron.
He should.
So we are going to talk. We have a secret message for John Michael Wood on our next bonus show.
Yes, we will have a secret message for you. We're going to find him on Facebook. We're going to look through his whole Facebook. Yeah, talk to us. Now, this isn't really the best show for a Rob and Joe being hilarious vehicle. I mean, if you're ranking who's funny on this show, I'm last because I have basically
you're
nothing.
A straight man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like playing the doctor. I played the doctor. I've never done that before. And that's a good role. You get like three laughs. You have about three lines and that's it.
You know, I'm sure he enjoyed Eric Woodworth.
Well, I was going to say Eric Woodworth played the waiter, and I'm not going to give anything away because, you know, we still continue to do this show. It's the first one we ever wrote. But the waiter has basically three interruptions. But they loved Eric so much that eventually Eric ran out on stage without his clothes on.
Yeah.
It's not even in the script, but he did go up on stage and he was wearing nothing but tidy whities and that waiter. What do you call that? Like a little apron that they wear, you know, that you put pens in and the pad that you take orders on. That's all he had on by the end of the show.
But even when he had his normal clothes on, he had his jeans pulled up so high. He just looked ridiculous. The gag is that there's a murder investigation going on at a restaurant or bar, and the waiter keeps interrupting with announcements about food specials and things of that nature. And Eric is, he's hilarious at everything he does. But hey, John Michael Wood, thank you for your support. I'm glad you had a good time. I wish we would have talked, and you know, you could have bought us a drink or something. But next time, is he from Richmond or did he just drive down there?
I think he drove. He's
from Vermont.
Yeah, exactly. I got the feeling he's in the area. He drove there, but he's somewhere in the area. Out of curiosity, since Diana is a professional, did she figure it out?
You know what? That's a good question.
They did figure it out.
Yes.
And I don't think I'll give anything away. She was the killer.
Yeah. Well, you're. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the killer can be a man or woman. So let's put it out there.
Nice.
Or maybe I'm just covering for Joe telling too much. D's Nuts was their team name, in case you want to know what the Rooters and Diana Barrett and that other couple whose names I've already forgotten because I suck. That's what their team name was, in case that's their humor. Wow. Joe did not accept their name.
No, I didn't. Matter of fact, for the ratio, especially with the amount of Gibbs, right, you figure those people would be of lower intellect. But it was a huge stack of people that got it right.
Yeah.
You know, in proportion to the crowd. So I couldn't really include these nuts. I mean, there were probably 25 correct answers.
Yeah, they were a pretty smart crowd, or maybe we made it too easy. I don't know. Let's take a break. We'll come right back. Oh, I have another Bert Kreischer story. Guess which comic he asked me about? Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe Show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin Show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen Show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it, so should you. Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Who do you think Bert asked me about, fellas?
Dan Ninen, clearly. Oh, he asked you about Dan Ninen.
He says, so Rob, I read an article with your name in it. You mentioned interviewed a few times. I go, oh, you're talking about Ninen. He goes, tell me the story. And, of course, I told him the whole thing, and he loved every second of it. But remember when we talked about this is now what we're going to be known for more than anything in the comedy world is Ninen? It's true.
Yeah. No, yeah, if names like Bert Kreischer, they know us because of that, yeah. Can we make money off this?
Well, we haven't figured out how to yet. So, you know, I'm trying to get a hold of Alex Bell from the Isle of Man. You know, we want to, maybe we can, although maybe that's going to be aggressive and not work backfire, but Patrick Melton's all about it. He's in England all the time. We want to do a show there, but I can't, he won't respond. Alex, we love you. Come on.
Well, Alex Bell is like a 21-year-old kid. What's he going to organize a comedy show? I don't think he's got that in him.
Well, he knows someone that can do that.
Maybe you're intimidating him like you did to John Michael Montgomery or whatever that guy's name.
John Michael Wood.
Yeah.
Am I Facebook friends with? Are you, Joe? No, you're not even on Facebook. Let me look. John, it's a hyphen situation, you said?
Yeah, John hyphen Michael Wood.
Yeah, what's he look like?
To be honest,
I've only seen the text in chat. I haven't looked at his page, so I couldn't even tell you.
Did he come by himself?
I don't know.
He needs to get. Oh, John Michael Wood.
I'll be honest, John and I don't know that John and I have interacted until this moment. John sent me a note out of the blue saying I am going to go to see this show. And I can't wait because I love the Rob and Joe Show, and that was the beginning of my new friendship with John Michael Wood.
Lives in Richmond, Virginia.
I'm surprised he had the guts even to reach out to you, Marcus. He sounds like a fragile guy.
Well, I'm going to add him. I'm adding him right now.
Oh, you don't even have him as a friend. You have to send him a friend request.
But we have six mutual friends. Buzz Burbank, Rob Ford, Mike O'Mara, Marcus Serta, Todd Moore, and Rob Spiewak. So this is our guy.
Wow.
He's married. He probably brought his wife then.
Come on, Joe. You got to friend him now. Make his night.
I'll get there.
He posted about the show. Yes, he went.
Read it.
We'll be attending. Well, he just posted that he'd be attending with what appears to be his wife. No, he didn't. No review of the show. So
get on it, John Michael.
Yes, come on.
Now, typically on TMOS, they would make fun of John Michael Wood because he's a three-name guy, and most assassins are. Does he look like the type of guy who would kill?
Does he have crazy eyes?
I'm trying to figure out who he is because his profile picture is appears to be three people.
Maybe that's John, Michael, and Wood.
There's five people. Maybe they're at a boy band. His profile picture is from a year and a half ago. So he's not updating this very much. Or maybe I'm just not friends. I can't see everything. Okay, this is him. Oh, wait, he looks familiar. Maybe because I just saw him yesterday.
Who's the celebrity he most resembles?
He almost looks a little bit like Marcus Serta.
Oh, God. I'm really? Sorry, John Michael.
Who does he look like? I don't know. He does look like somebody. Not good at that. Well, John Michael Wood, talk to us next time. See your wife, attractive couple. Hang out with us. I'm in Richmond all the time. We'll be doing another murder mystery there probably in the fall or something.
And you don't have to worry about paying because other fans do that.
Yeah. Joe, what? I felt like we had something else, something big. Oh, here's a question. I was thinking about this the other day. Your Mount Rushmore of movie characters. Now,
all right.
The franchises are going to be the ones that are going to be, you might lean towards here. Like, you know, anyone in Star Wars. Or...
Right. So if it's in Star Wars, it's Darth Vader. Darth Vader is the best character in Star Wars. Marcus, do you agree? Right.
Yes, I would agree. The reason I sound a little hesitant is because,
you like Jar Jar Binks?
Fuck no. But I know a lot of backstories about these characters now, and I think Boba Fett's backstory is very interesting. I think he as a character is very cool.
I'm sorry I asked.
But, Jesus, do we want a yes or no? But no, he's Boba Fett is not the Mount Rushmore of movie characters.
That's right. Greedo, Boba Fett, Jar Jar Binks, and Darth Maul.
IG-88. Don't forget IG-88.
Sorry I went to Marcus there, Rob. I did that because he's our resident Star Wars nerd, but then he geeked out on us.
Where's Tommy?
I have my four, but I want to let you think about it. Do you want me to hear my four?
I'm just going to throw some names out there since I haven't had time to think. I love Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. I love trying to think of where there's been multiple movies. I mean, I don't think Harry Potter would be, although all those movies are great. The Godfather movies are great, but I don't know that any of those characters would make the Mount Rushmore.
Could you make a case, even though it's only one movie, but a Wizard of Oz character?
I mean, who are you going to go with? You, Dorothy?
Probably.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just had one in my head and it went, oh, what about James Bond? He's going to be on there,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Are we talking about, I'm trying to think of maybe in comedies or the greatest movies of all time, right?
Oh, Police Academy. There's about nine of those. So.
That's true. The guy who does all the voices.
Yeah.
What's the name? Winston. What's that guy's name?
Michael Winslow.
That's it, Michael Winslow.
I think Hightower, Bubba Smith's character. Or no, Tackleberry. Yeah. Your Mount Rushmore of Police Academy characters.
Give me your Mount Rushmore.
It's James Bond, Indiana Jones, Darth Vader, and Rocky Balboa.
Okay, well, I had three of your four. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with Rocky is he's really only been in maybe... 2.5 good movies. I mean, you know, I mean,
well,
Rocky III, which three.
So the character has lived on now for,
yeah,
I mean, when it came out, like 1979 or something.
Rocky III and Rocky IV, when I saw them, I loved them, but they are fucking ridiculous. They're the dumbest movies I've ever. I mean, you know, there's three montages in Rocky IV.
Yeah, I'm a montage sucker. So, a good montage.
So that reminds me, we have the Fire Stick that we've jailbroke and we steal movies. And again, if I get caught by the FBI, I'm going to roll on Tommy and Robbie. Sure. But We've been watching some classics that, you know, I mean, Katie's never seen. We watched True Romance the other day. We watched Taxi Driver. I mean, we've seen some movies that I want her to see. And the other day we watched.
Okay, hold on. Is she enjoying these movies?
Some she enjoys, some she doesn't. She's all Say Anything. She loved it. It might be her favorite movie of all time now. You know, I've said, and then there's some that just don't work or they don't hold up. And I'm about to tell you about one right now. So one of the movies that is considered a classic. Matter of fact, when they did the top 100 movies of all time, this is on the list. And it's also Dustin Hoffman's breakout role. And that's The Graduate.
You're saying it does not hold up.
And I watch this movie, and this movie is fucking ridiculous. It is the fucking dumbest movie. Okay. The idea is, and I don't know if you even remember it or even if you've ever seen it. And I don't
it's
know
been
if
it's a long it. Time.
If I'm giving a spoiler, screw you. This movie came out before I was born, and I'm almost 50. So Dustin Hoffman is a recent college graduate. By the way, he's 30 when he makes this movie. So that's another problem. You know, he's a grown man, okay? And the neighbor... The hot neighbor, Mrs. Robinson, asks him to drive her home from this party. He's awkward. He's uncomfortable. He's pushing her away. Everything that no woman would pursue. No
he's
woman
Scott
would.
Apple.
He is like Scott Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And she's insisting. She ends up taking her clothes off. I mean, everything is awkward. And everything I know about women is they don't pursue awkward men in this manner. Women don't want to be rejected. And he is rejecting her over and over again. And this guy is forcing himself on her. Well, of course, the idea is that he eventually falls in love with her daughter. But I didn't realize that he fell in love with her daughter over the span of like 8 hours. So,
yeah, ridiculous.
He has an affair with this woman who this would never happen. No one would be rejected in this manner and insist. And then all of a sudden you're having an affair with this person. And then you meet the daughter who you already knew. You're with her for 8 hours. You love her and you follow her across country. I mean, it's just the dumbest. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Now, at the time, it might have. But I'm telling you, I stand by this. This movie doesn't hold up. It doesn't hold up.
Did Katie hate it the whole time? She was mocking it?
Well, here's the deal. I enjoyed its ridiculousness. It's not ridiculous like Roadhouse. But, I mean, it is. The premise is so just unrealistic. It's not, it wouldn't work now. I want you to watch it and tell me if you see if you agree with what I'm saying. But to say I didn't enjoy it isn't true.
Have you seen it recently, Marcus?
I have not seen the movie recently. I have seen it in live performance.
What?
I've seen it.
You went to see the play?
Yeah, I went to go see the play. It's amazing.
God, okay. You're weird.
How does that make me weird?
Who was in it? And you know, I can't make it tonight. I'm seeing The Graduate on summer stock.
It's nobody you would know because it was local community theater.
Oh, so, local community theater. God,
it's like going to a murder mystery.
I'd rather go to that opera lecture that Joe and Katie went to.
Vermont High presents The Graduate. By the way, this local theater, is it a high school?
No, it's adults.
They have a teacher play Mrs. Robinson?
Can we get the murder mystery book there?
Sure, we can do that.
You think John Michael Wood would have enjoyed this show?
He would have loved it.
I'm looking at the top, there's some website with the top movie characters of all time. Their top, their number one is Indiana Jones.
Great character.
James Bond. Then Han Solo. I mean, you can make a Han Solo reference.
Oh, yeah, Han Solo is. But you know what? The depth of character isn't there. I don't think he's cool. He's the coolest character.
Right. I agree with you. But Darth Vader's story is much more interesting.
What about Batman?
They have Batman. That's a good call. Then this is one, if we haven't mentioned any females yet, Ellen Ripley from Aliens.
Yeah, but, you know, do we know a lot about her backstory? Everything we know about her is confined to this little area. I don't know that I agree. I think that if you're going to throw a female a bone, there's a lot better. You talked about Dorothy. That's a lot better character than Ripley.
Well, there's the thing is, action movies are generally the ones with the franchises.
And well, the best character, you know, in my opinion, who'd be on my Mount Rushmore is only in one movie, Hans Gruber. I mean,
Joker as number six, the Heath Ledger. I mean, they have John McClane, Die Hard.
Yeah, but John McClane isn't anywhere near as good a character as Hans Gruber. Hans Gruber is the best character. I'm not, you know, he's the best character in the movie.
There's one that Robbie would hate, the dude from Big Lebowski. Now, the Michael Corleone is a good is a contender, I think.
Yeah, he's a great character, and he spans a few movies, and he really takes a roller coaster ride where first he's a soldier and a hero. He's somebody who wasn't going to participate in the family business. He ends up running it. You know, he gets married to a woman in Italy, kills somebody. I mean, that is a great character.
Here's one that Robbie will like, Marty McFly.
Yeah, I mean, I like Marty McFly, but I think the greatness of that movie doesn't have a lot to do with the character. It has to do with the premise.
The Doc is better than Marty McFly.
I don't think there's enough Doc for him to be better, right?
They have Doc Brown at 20. They have Loki at 19. Some of these are ridiculous.
Give Marcus some credit. I mean, he nailed Doc Brown. He's 20. Yeah. That's obviously who's right. Wrote this. Is it Robbie? Did Robbie write this article?
No, because the dude's up number 10. Robbie would not have that. Hannibal Lecter. You don't like.
No. Hannibal Lecter. Other than the name, that is a great character.
Yeah.
So just as a quick question, because this came up actually on TMOS and you guys are friends with Rob Spiewak. Rob Spiewak made the claim on TMOS last week that Gone with the Wind is the greatest movie of all time.
Well, I've never seen Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, I'm not going to fucking watch Gone with the Wind.
Columbia Playhouse.
I just listened to it, a book on tape. No, I would never watch. Listen, Robbie, Mike Chamberlain, these guys are going to get upset with me, but I'm not watching a 60, 70-year-old movie. I'm not going to do it.
Mark, has it seen Gone with the Wind?
I saw it many, many years ago.
And did everyone, no one agreed with him, I'm assuming, right?
No, they gave him a ration of shit about it. I mean, technically speaking, it's still, I believe, from a box office perspective, taking inflation into account, is still the highest grossing film of all time.
Yes, I've heard that as well. More people bought tickets to see Gone with the Wind than any other movie.
And but I don't think that equates to it being the greatest movie of all time either.
I believe that's going to be a record that will never be broken because, you know, things are changing.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to stop going to the movies because I don't know if I mentioned this already, but I jailbroke my Fire Stick and I can see any movie I want from my home.
I don't think so. I think people still like the idea of going to a theater and enjoying that, watching a movie with strangers, that communal experience.
Not in the city.
You're right. I went to the movies the last two weekends, and I'm the one arguing against it. But yeah.
When I last weekend, I saw
Logan. I would highly recommend.
Yeah.
Great movie.
And then, as I said the week before, I saw Get Out. Get Out's better than Logan, but Logan is a great superhero movie because I think it's the most violent superhero movie I've ever seen.
Oh, I like violence. Yeah.
And I'll also say, Marcus, you already saw Logan?
I saw it, and I liked it a lot, and it had little to do with the violence.
I don't know. I didn't. I'm just happy. It was just an aside. It also happened to be violent. Yeah. But I will say this one more thing. There was a trailer for Deadpool 2, and it might be the best trailer I ever saw. Agreed, yeah. Marcus?
Agreed.
Is that... I saw the thing where he's changing in the...
That's
phone
it. That's the trailer, yep.
I'm on record as not really particularly caring for the first Deadpool, but I did enjoy that. I thought that was funny.
And Joe, would you agree that, I mean, you know how it's going to end, but the fact that not only did they go there, but then he continued on with that conversation with the dead guy that that joke funny.
Wow. Oh, that's just a trailer. That doesn't, I don't think.
I thought you were talking about Logan. I thought you switched back.
No.
Well, we have to say congrats to Scott Apple and his wife. They had a baby that the Rob and Joe Show, a family the Rob and Joe Show created, I think. It's fair to say that.
Yeah, of course. You guys are more you and Robbie than me. But I mean,
yeah, but it was your relationship with him that got him to us. So it's really is a family that we created. We are responsible for this family.
So did he go with the name Roberta Josephina? What did he go with?
Should have. That's...
I think we said this. It's Adeline.
Something Bell. It's a girl. She's adorable. You know, she's a baby. What do you want?
But yeah, if I've only seen her head, that's all I've seen so far in the picture. It's all swaddled. So I'm sure it's adorable.
It's Baby Fett. That's what he named the kid.
No, the most interesting baby ever. It's on the Mount Rushmore of babies.
That's the show. I'll be at the DC Improv this week, this Thursday to Sunday, dcimprov.com for tickets. So check that out. Joe, you're heading to Vegas. Where are you guys staying?
We're staying at Harrah's. We're going with former show announcer Tim Moran and his friend that we affectionately call Secret Friend because he doesn't like us to be around him. And it's so me, Katie, Tim, and Secret Friend on Thursday, heading to Vegas, coming back Monday.
Are you going to bet every single NCAA tournament game?
I am. And one of the things I'll tell you what I usually do is I bet the dogs. And usually the dogs win more games than they lose in the first round. Because people bet their teams, and there are more fans of the bigger schools, and as a result, they drive the line down. So it's just a little tip for you guys.
Can you give us a Final Four? Can you pull one out of your ass?
Yeah, I don't even know what the brackets are yet, so I couldn't tell you. I do know that Maryland will not be among them, although they got a sweet draw. I don't know how the hell they pulled it off, but they have a chance at winning their first game. They're not a very good team, but they're overseeded. And they're playing a team that it has an injured point guard coming limping into the tournament. So they have a shot at winning week one, but that'll be it.
I believe Vermont is paired up with Purdue.
Yes, Vermont is the 13th seed. I'm looking at that right now. This is the least attention I've ever paid to college basketball since, you know, I started watching it. Which is a shame because I love it. So, but I am not prepared. But I'll still give a Final Four.
I think that's because your teams are bad. You like Georgetown, they're bad. You like Ohio State,
yep,
they're bad.
Both bad. Yeah. That definitely plays a role. And Maryland, I mean, you know, I root for them, but you know, they haven't been particularly exciting or good.
Well, I got some love on Twitter. I compared Maryland's season to Kirstie Alley's body over the last 40 years.
I saw that. I saw you started tweeting. Maryland basketball got you tweeting. Now Wizards basketball. Now that we're on board with. Now that's got us excited.
Yeah, and this is the end of the show, so Robbie won't get mad. But the Wizards are better than they've ever been in 39 years.
Yes, this is
39 years.
Yeah,
it's basically my lifetime because I don't remember that championship barely. I was 7 years old. I barely remember it, and now they're better than they've been since I was seven. And I'm an old man now. So thank you, Wiz, for finally being good. I appreciate
it. Yes. All right. Here's my Final Four. Bum, ba dum, bum, bum. Oregon. UCLA. Oh, shit. Very Pac-10-y so far. It's even called that anymore. West Virginia. And the Duke Blue Devils.
Yeah, I mean, I hate
Duke UCLA so in the finals. UCLA wins. That's my Final Four and my winner.
All right. Yeah, I Duke is really playing well coming down. They ended up losing to North Carolina. But remember, they had dropped like, what, 4 out of 5. Coach K was out. That's another thing, and then we'll go. I mean, the players are the same. What does Coach K do? He leaves. They lose. They lose 4 out of 5 games. All of a sudden, he comes back and they're the best team in the NCAA. I mean, all the players are the same way. They just forget how to play when he leaves.
It's not that much strategy. It's basketball. I mean, it's not.
I don't understand it. Why he leaves and they suck? It makes no sense. But it does give me hope that eventually this guy's going to die or retire. And when he does, that team is going to be fucking horrible. And I can't wait for it.
Well, until then, they're still awesome. You going to give your Final Four, or are we just counting mine?
I agree. I agree completely with you.
Right. Marcus has Revant all the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, guys. See you next week.
See ya.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.